And Jesus said to the leper, "I will, be thou clean." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we rejoice in hearing these accounts of the miracles of Christ, and we mark that they come and are recorded in Matthew chapter 8, and that's just after the record of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus had spoken the truth, and the people remarked that they had not heard it like this, as one that teaches with authority. So we see the command of Christ, that he is a fount of wisdom, truth incarnate, and in the preaching of Christ, you don't hear him referencing other authorities except the Father, but referencing other human authorities, or trying to speak about maybe there's a consensus opinion on this matter, or saying that, well, you should see my footnotes, and you'll see where this is documented and how I came to this conclusion. There's no conditional phrases like, well, it may be like this, the way I see it is. No, we see the Lord speak definitive truth, and we're blessed by that. We see and are the recipients of this vast inheritance of grace poured out by God through Christ, who is the revelation of God's love to us. Jesus is love incarnate. And whatever he says and whatever he does is love to us from the Father and is truth. So we see his authority in the Sermon on the Mount, and he then demonstrates his authority by the miracles. Immediately after he has spoken these truths, then he shows his power over disease, illness, and death by healing the leper and by healing the centurion's servant from a distance. So we see his command. In fact, the centurion says, "Well, I'm a commander. You don't need to come under the roof of my house." As a pagan, he knew it would make the teacher defiled. "But speak your own name, my servant shall be healed." And Jesus heals his servant from a distance and commands the disease to leave. And so we see the gracious will of God, that he is in Christ pouring out the kingdom of heaven where there is no disease or death, and showing forth to us a great hope of the resurrected life. Kingdom of heaven, where we will have the established and glorified body will never get sick or die again. Now, there's a great tenderness in Christ in the way that he deals with the leper. And notice how the leper approaches Christ, and we can learn from that already. He calls him Lord, he falls at his feet, and says, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." So he submits everything to Christ. There's a surrender in this man to God's will. "Thy will be done." And then we see with that approach, it opens his soul to the miracle of healing. Now, Christ is very gracious. "I will, be thou clean." And he heals the man. It's his gracious will to heal him. It demonstrates his power over disease for those who are watching. And witnessing this, the great multitudes followed him. So many people saw this. And we see the act of restoration of that. "Must go then see the priest, that he can certify you." And that'll be a testimony to the priests. Now, it's very likely that Jesus wanted that healed leper to go back to Jerusalem to be certified. And that would show the priest that God was on the move. It was the age of Messiah, that person being cleansed. So there is this beautiful healing that takes place, and we rejoice in hearing it. And again, are reminded of our great hope of the resurrected life in the way that Christ heals the leper and also the servant of the centurion. We can also see in the leper a figure of our human race. Here is one who is moribund. He is dying, and all of us are also dying. So he shows the status of our human race. When the Lord of life comes among us, he comes to a human race that is dying and comes to give them life, indeed life, the abundant life. And so here is the figure of the man showing a representation of all humanity. We can also see in him that not only is he dying, but the outward invisible sickness that he has is something that makes him unclean. And so he has to be pushed outside the walls. He's not able to be in society now. He is defiled. And when he comes to Christ and says, "Make me clean," he wants to be cleansed of leprosy. What we can see in this is a figure of a state of the soul that is sickened and dying from sin. And And so think about this leper as being the outward and visible sign of someone who inwardly and spiritually is sick with sin. They're dying from the leprosy of sin. And just like he asks, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. We as sinners who come depending upon God's mercy, that we would be cleansed of our defilements, of our darkness, the way that we have gone against God's perfect love, we can come with the same approach. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And we can hear God say, I will be thou clean. It is God's gracious will that the sinner be forgiven of his sins. It sums up the great work of the ministry of Christ, who came that we might be delivered from sin and the consequence of death. God does not delight in the death of a sinner, but rather that he should turn from his sins and live. And so we have this gracious will that is poured out to us. God would wills the salvation of all people. And it's his desire that we would come out of sin into newness of life, that we would be cleansed from the defilements of the ways that we have gone against perfect love, that we would be cleansed from that and now restored to newness of life, like the leper who was restored and now had his vigor and strength again. Now there is the power of Christ made manifest in the healing of the leper. Now we declare as a church the power of Christ over sin. We believe in the forgiveness of sins and that Christ's blood sacrifice is efficacious in the forgiveness of sins. And so we trust in that power. We can come confessing, knowing that God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin. And that when he forgives it, it is not for us to remember anymore. And so, in this time of our pilgrimage, where we're at right now, if we are haunted from a former sin that we have repented of, that we have asked for forgiveness of and been forgiven, let us stand on the sure mercies of God and trust in the power of Christ to save us. We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We believe in the efficacy of his blood sacrifice. And so no longer do we need to be haunted by that sin which we have repented of. If we are still unable to quiet our conscience, then let us seek the counsel of a wise counselor in spiritual matters, and especially appeal to the ministry of a priest who can hear our confession and grant the gift of the announcing of the pardon of sin and minister to the penitent the grace of absolution. That is a very important way for people to come out of their, you know, before Christ and their past life into newness of life. Sometimes they need to hear it from another. There is great power. When we name the sin, it loses its power. So if we name the sin in the confessional, it loses its power because it's coming up against the power of the Lord of life, who is greater than sin. We really trust that Christ is bigger than any of our darkness. We have a great faith in that and trust in that. Just like Christ was able to push out and push back any kind of sickness and roll over death and destroy its power by his own resurrection, we believe, too, that he can deal with any dirt that we have. There's no dirt in me or dirt in you that is bigger than Jesus and his shed blood. There's nothing. It can't surprise him. Besides, he knows about it already. None of us can hide his secret from God. He knows all things. What he's waiting for us to repent, that we would humbly acknowledge our sins and be cleansed and enter into the abundant life that he has come to give us. And so if we are in that place where we're not sure we've been forgiven and we're still being haunted in our conscience, or if we have a sin that we haven't repented of, where we need to come clean and ask God to heal us and actually come to that place of surrender, and say to him, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Let us come to that place now. We're coming soon into the season of pre-Lent and Lent, a great penitential time where we do self-examination and ask God the Holy Spirit to show us what we need to repent of. That's a very healthy thing to do on an annual basis, this cleansing of the soul, the great deep spiritual house cleaning. And what do we find when we actually come to Christ and ask him to heal us inside and deliver us from our sins and cleanse us? We the experience of salvation that he's brought to us. To be forgiven of sin is to taste of salvation. Remember that heavens, the angels of heaven rejoice when one sinner repents. It's God's will. Heaven is rooting for us. God will reach deep into wherever we're at to bring us out into this holy light. I remember a passage in a story I read about a loving father with a son who was about to undergo an operation, a serious operation. This little boy, about 8 or 9, was holding his hand right before the anesthesiologist would bring the ether. It was in the early days. And so his father was able to be there with him, and they were about to put the ether and knock him out for the surgery. The little boy looked up at his father, and he said, "Dad, you'll be with me the whole time, right? You'll be with me the whole way." And his father said, "Yes," holding his hand, "I'll be with you the whole way." We can trust God that way. He is our loving Father who will be with us the whole way. We see that love poured out to us in the ministry of Christ and rejoice that what God has brought through Christ to the world is now ours. Let us receive it with joy and enter into newness of life and into the joy